Please turn with me to Matthew 27. We're reading verses 27 to 31. In the Gospel of John, we find out that some of this activity may have taken place along the way. But the Gospels are written differently. Matthew is written in order to separate out the mocking of Jesus Christ, in order for us to see it in its full horror, and to see the irony of the true king being mocked by those who do not recognize him. Verse 27, this is the word of God. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. The precious word of the living and the true God. As I said before, the Gospel of Matthew is giving us this mockery of Roman soldiers as sort of a topic, not giving us the chronological order like we expect, but to give us this mocking of the soldiers that we might see it in contrast to what happened in chapter 26. Because you remember that Jesus was mocked there by Jewish people. And now he's before Roman soldiers. He's before Gentiles. He's before those who have no desire to respect the Jewish people or their king. The soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall. It is a place where they could gather. It's a place that was big enough for 600 soldiers to gather. Probably not the legionnaires, probably the auxiliary soldiers who would come from places like Phoenicia or even Syria, perhaps even Samaritans who hated the Jews. Auxiliary soldiers there to carry out a crucifixion of three men. And they're in a relaxed mood, because for Roman soldiers gathered together, this is an opportunity for them to be in private. You see, there were laws against how they could mock the Jews in public. But in private, in this common hall, they felt they could do what they wanted. You know how it is when those who have cruel desires get into a relaxed place where they feel like they can express it. You know what that looks like. Some of you have seen it in public school. Some of you have seen it in very difficult situations that you have encountered in your life. You know what this is like. And Jesus is there with 600 soldiers. They're in this common hall. It says they gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. The language is that of actually parading a military garrison before an honored king. They're already beginning to think about the ways in which they are going to use their free time before the crucifixion. Gathered unto him is language that's used again and again in the Gospel of Matthew to talk about being assembled against the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 26 and verse 3, then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. Chapter 26 and verse 57, and they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. Verse 17 of chapter 27, therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? And then finally in chapter 27, verse 62, the chief priests and the Pharisees come together unto Pilate. This assembling of those who are gathered against Jesus Christ. again and again and again. Now this time, Roman soldiers. One of the most cruel regimes that you can imagine in terms of how they dealt with people who were state criminals. They had no qualms about making life very, very, very difficult. In fact, torturing and abusing those who were in their custody. And there was a pattern of Roman soldiers doing things like we see here in the public square. At one point, they made fun of a disabled person, and they gave him king's clothing and a little scepter to hold. During the Saturnalia festival, there was lots of this kind of activity that took place. These Roman soldiers are gathered together, and they have in mind the language of Jesus Christ being King of the Jews. That gives them an idea that's part of their life. It's part of the way that they have done things before. They are going to mock him. They are going to treat him as if he's a king, all of the while believing just the opposite, that he's a common criminal. And the irony is, the one that they are treating in this way is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. But he's in his state of humiliation. It's not going to be until Matthew 28 that we find the true enthronement of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Right now, Jesus Christ is giving his life for sinners. He's a once-for-all sacrifice for sins. He's a lamb before its shearers, silent. He is going to endure. He's going to suffer at the hands of Roman soldiers. Imagine that. The King of the Jews before a cruel Gentile soldier. Samaritans. So they strip him and they put a scarlet robe on him. Scarlet and purple were among the most expensive dyes. In the Gospel of Mark, we read about a purple robe. But Romans didn't really differentiate between those colors too closely. Scarlet, purple, they were similar dyes, similar hues. The purple represented royalty. That's why Mark accents it. But the red represented the authority of the person who was wearing it. A scarlet robe. Perhaps a robe that was scarlet, but very old and looked purple. We don't have to argue about the colors because the Romans didn't. The gospel accounts don't. No, the idea is that Jesus Christ is being given the clothing that's supposed to represent the king. It's a costume show. They're dressing him up for a show for themselves. They're dressing him up because they want to mock him. And he's allowing this to happen. They're putting this scarlet robe on him as if he's wearing the clothing of a king. And then they put together a crown of thorns. And they put it on his head. There's your crown. There's a lot of irony here. If you remember the curse in the garden concerning thorns. And these thorns are actually placed on Jesus' head. It's a mock crown. It's a mock robe. It's a mock crown placed on his head. And then they give him a reed to represent a scepter. And they put it in his right hand. And then these Roman soldiers who do not believe that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, they believe he's a common criminal, they begin to mock him even more. You're the king of the Jews. Well, let's bow. King of the Jews. They take turns parading before him. And they mock him, using language that you would use to refer to Caesar, but now referencing his title, King of the Jews. Hail, King of the Jews. Pretending to bow before him, pretending to acknowledge him as the king. But it's all a cruel joke. It's all something that they do for their own amusement. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the means by which the blood is running in the veins of those who are persecuting him, allows it to happen. You might forget that he was scourged before they put that robe on him. Scourging really tore off human flesh. So they put a robe, a rough Roman robe, on top of the flesh of the one who had just been scourged. You understand? He's experiencing great physical pain. Well, they're mocking him. But that's not all. This passage is not merely about the physical pain. It's more about the way that they treat him. They're mocking him. They're mocking God's Son. In a little while, we're going to sing from Psalm 2. And you know what is said in Psalm 2. That we should kiss the Son. Mocking him is putting yourself under the judgment of the coming Son of Man. And yet that's what they do. And they go further. We've already read about spitting in chapter 26, spitting in his face. Chapter 26 and verse 67. Now it says, these Roman soldiers spit on him. And they take the reed out of his hand, probably more of a, not a reed that would easily break, but a stronger reed that would be like a stick that you can use to hit someone with, and they begin to bop him on the head. It says they smote him on the head, but you know what they're doing. Playful. Hitting the Lord Jesus Christ on the head. Soldiers with a little bit of time to kill. Playtime. When they get done with that, they're done mocking him. They're not allowed to parade him to his crucifixion without any clothes. So they take the robe off of him. And they put his own raiment on him. And they lead him away to crucify him. You see what's happened. The Lord Jesus Christ is enduring mocking and physical abuse from Roman soldiers who have no idea who they have just mistreated. One day the Bible says that every knee is going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Including these Roman soldiers who are in his presence now. They have no idea who they have encountered. And that's the irony of the whole story. That's the irony of the whole thing. They are mocking the Lord Jesus Christ with language that truly applies to him. He is the King of the Jews. He's the King of the nations. He's the King of kings. He's the King before whom every king is going to bow. Including Caesar, whom these Roman soldiers serve. They have mocked and abused God the Son of God, in human flesh. Jesus is fulfilling Psalm 22 and verse 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head. That's what's happening. The Lord Jesus Christ is living out Psalm 22. As we've already mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew, by the time we get to the end, there's going to be the true enthronement of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's there after his resurrection. It's there on that mountain when he comes and speaks unto those who are gathered before him. And he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When the Lord Jesus Christ says all authority has been given to him and he's with you always, he's also speaking of the times when you yourself are mocked because someone wants to mock the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has made it very clear that there is a blessing involved in being reviled. Matthew 5:11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. If you're joined to Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, you are living in a world that mocks the Lord Jesus Christ. It's still going on. These Roman soldiers were mocking the Lord Jesus Christ at a very specific time in history, on his way to the cross, as he gave himself for sinners. But the mocking of the Lord Jesus Christ continues. It's mentioned again and again in the scriptures in places like 2 Peter 3. Again and again, we read about the mocking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have encountered it. You've been in a place of employment. You've been in a place where you were with your neighbors. And you've mentioned Jesus Christ, or you've mentioned being a Christian, and you saw the reaction. But that reaction, you need to know, is sometimes a social veneer covering over true hatred and cruelty. This is why people don't want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the psalm that we were singing, Psalm 44 in Romans chapter 8, says we're like sheep to be slaughtered. We're in the midst of a world that hates the Lord Jesus Christ and hates those who are associated with him. Look at how the apostles were treated in the book of Acts. But you also need to know something. Many times when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross, we think about his sacrifice for sins. We think of him suffering under the wrath of God. We think of him suffering the penalty that was due to sinners. Theologians call that passive obedience. He passively endured. He suffered. He encountered that and he suffered. In his agony, he became our Savior. But there's another side to the obedience of Jesus Christ. It is the obedience of Jesus Christ that enables him to faithfully do the Father's will despite mockery, persecution, and physical cruelty. And that kind of obedience, that active obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, is given to you by union with Jesus Christ as well. So that in the midst of a world that mocks, that hates the Lord Jesus Christ, you can endure. You can persevere. Because left to ourselves, we know that we're not just indifferent to the Lord Jesus Christ. Left to ourselves, apart from the work of the Spirit of God, we're the mockers. That's why the Psalms begin, the Psalter begins with this statement, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Jesus Christ submitted himself like a lamb before its shearers, silently, to Roman cruelty and abuse, mockery of who he is, in order that you and I might be sustained, might be given that kind of delight in the law of the Lord that enables us to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in its season. The fruitfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ is given to us. So when someone begins to mock Jesus, which you will encounter, remember that there is underneath that mockery a hatred of God, a cruelty that will eventually lead to the oppression and persecution of those who are identified with Jesus Christ. And if our society moves in that direction, if your neighborhood moves in that direction, if your coworkers move in that direction, you are like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Because you have been given something through union with Jesus Christ that enables you to delight in the law of the Lord, to delight in his ways, and to remember the Lord Jesus Christ on that day when they dressed him up like a king to mock him, not recognizing that he was the true king. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is enthroned in heaven. He's helping his people from heaven's throne room. He's aiding you in the midst of a world that mocks the Lord Jesus Christ. He's giving you that means that you need in order to continue to persevere. And it's a blessing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed are you, ye, when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. The true blessing is to be those who are joined to Jesus Christ, who begin to look like him in the midst of a fallen world. So how will you respond next time someone begins to mock the Lord Jesus in your presence? Well, the first thing you ought to do is remember the Lord Jesus Christ before these Roman soldiers. Remember the irony of how they treated him. Remember who he truly was. And remember who you are as those who are joined to Jesus Christ.